Well, a very warm welcome to St Alfred's. My name is David Williams. I serve with the Church Missionary Society of Australia, and I'm a member of the 6 p.m. service at St Alfred's. It's a great joy and privilege to be with you today. And we're working into our Advent series, looking at some of the great and famous Christmas passages as we prepare ourselves for Christmas and the birth of the Lord Jesus Christ. And today we're particularly looking at the passage in Isaiah 9, from which so many wonderful hymns and songs have been drawn, one of which we'll be singing together this morning. And our focus is especially on the names that are ascribed to the wonderful Messiah in Isaiah 9, verse 6. Let me read those verses again. "For to us a child is born, to us a son is given, and the government will be on his shoulders. He will be called Wonderful Counselor, Mighty God, Everlasting Father, Prince of Peace. Of the increase of his government and peace there will be no end. He will reign on David's throne and over his kingdom, establishing and upholding it with justice and righteousness from that time on and forevermore. The zeal of the Lord Almighty will accomplish this." Well, names are important, aren't they? I began by introducing myself, and in doing that, I gave you my name, because names are part of our identity. They're who we are. What your name is a very significant thing. The Bible is full of names, and it takes names and genealogies very, very seriously. Often names, of course, have meaning. And those meanings are often significant in the way that we choose names for our children. And some cultures, when they give people names, include names that are aspirational. So you might, in some cultures, find someone whose name is the local equivalent of Intelligent One or something like that. Their parents are hoping that the child will grow up to be super smart and get 99.95 at VCE. But you think about giving people names. It's a powerful thing, isn't it, to ascribe names to people, to give someone a name. And that naming of things can be used well, but it can also be misused. So in the history of colonialism, the power to name people has often been terribly misused. Think, for example, of the story of Robinson Crusoe. Robinson Crusoe is shipwrecked on a desert island, and then he meets an indigenous man who's able to help him. Robinson Crusoe doesn't ask the indigenous man what his name is. Instead, he gives him a name. He calls him Man, because he's a man, and Friday, Man Friday, because he met him on a Friday. How disrespectful just to give him a name and not ask him what his true name was. So naming people can be powerful, but we can be given that right and that authority in good ways. It doesn't have to be misused. So at the beginning of the Bible, in the book of Genesis, Adam and Eve are given authority to name the animals, and that's a significant part of their dominion over creation. And as parents, we have the right and authority to name our children. Parents don't have a baby and then say, "Well, you know, I'm going to leave you with the right to decide your own name. We won't call you anything till you're 18. That would be ridiculous, wouldn't it? So this authority to name and the power of names is a very significant thing in the Bible. And we're going to be coming to some really important and powerful names in our passage today that are ascribed to the Messiah, to the child, to the son who's going to be born. But the theme of names is a really important one in the way that the Bible story hangs together. You might remember back in Genesis, in the story of the Tower of Babel, that in humanity's rebellion against God, they build a tower because they want to make a name for themselves. But God now passes judgment on that usurpation of his authority. And he comes down and scrambles people and moves them around because they do not have the authority to make their name great. But just a few verses later, in Genesis chapter 12, God makes some wonderful promises to Abraham. He says to Abraham, I'm going to bless you and I will make your name great. So on the plains of Babel, people try to make a great name for themselves and God says no. But then God says to Abraham, no, I will make your name great and you will be blessed so that all the nations on the earth will know me. Well, that theme, the promises that God makes to Abraham, become critical through the rest of the Bible. And in our passage today in Isaiah 9, we see God fulfilling that promise to Abraham to make a great name. And God is now going to send a child, the Messiah, and this Messiah will have a great name and will fulfill the promises that God has made to his people. Now, we sometimes talk about who is going to be the greatest of all time, G-O-A-T, the GOAT. There's been lots of discussion about greatest of all time in sport recently, partly because just at the moment we are surrounded by some amazingly gifted and enduring sportsmen and women. So, who is the greatest female tennis player of all time? Is it Serena Williams or Margaret Court? Who's the greatest male tennis player of all time? Rafa, Federer or Djokovic? Who's the greatest Formula One driver of all time? Is it Schumacher or Lewis Hamilton? Well, I guess time will tell on each of those. But one thing we do know for sure is that if any of those individuals were themselves to claim that they were the GOAT, the greatest of all time, well, that would pretty much immediately ruin their chances of claiming the title. You don't become the greatest of all time by claiming the title for yourself. You have to prove it by your actions, and then that title is given to you by other people. And that's exactly what's going on in Isaiah 9 in this passage about the Messiah. Did you notice that in these verses, the Messiah doesn't come and say, I will call myself. He doesn't claim the greatest of all time title for himself. No, as we saw in the verse, he will be called. So we will look at this child who is born. We will look at this person. We will see his actions. And then we will give him a series of titles, four titles in these verses. And we'll give him those titles because we'll see in his person and in his character that this is who he is. So these aren't exactly names. Of course, the Messiah's name is Jesus. Elsewhere in Isaiah, we're told that he is Emmanuel, God with us. But these now are titles rather than specific names that we, looking at the Messiah, will see and give to him. Let's look at those four names that we will give to the Messiah in turn. But just before we do that, notice that if you pull all four together, they become intensely Trinitarian. As God's people, we believe in one God, Father, Son, and Holy Spirit. And the child in Isaiah 9, well, the titles that we will call him encompass all those persons of the Trinity. So we're going to call him the Prince of Peace. He's a son who is born to us. But he's also Everlasting Father and Wonderful Counselor. So he is Father, Son, Counselor, Paraclete, Spirit. This is a beautiful picture of our triune God. So we will call him, first of all, Wonderful Counselor. wonderful counsellor includes the idea of wisdom. And wisdom, I think, in weakness. A counsellor can't control people. A counsellor can only give advice and give direction. And there's an image here of, as with the Holy Spirit in John's Gospel, of walking alongside. And this Messiah is going to be a wonderful counsellor who is going to be wise in weakness. And as we see this promise fulfilled in the rest of the New Testament, we see the Messiah go to the cross, be crucified on our behalf, and his weakness becomes his moment of rescue for us. Paul says, I've not come to preach wisdom, but to preach foolishness, Christ crucified. And the wonderful counsellor points us to that model of wisdom in weakness. Then we're told that he is not just wonderful counsellor, but also mighty God. So there's a juxtaposition here between the wisdom of weakness and the power of God over evil. And this Messiah, this child who is born to us, is mighty God who is going to conquer evil. He has power over sin and Satan and suffering. And it's because of that power, power of the mighty God, that he has power to bring us peace and reconciliation and justice, as we see just a few lines further down. So he's wonderful counselor, mighty God, everlasting Father. Now that's a bit of a surprise, isn't it? How can this son who is born to us be called everlasting Father? Well, I guess Isaiah's first readers would have been left scratching their heads, and maybe they were not able to unravel this. But we know what's going on, because Jesus says to us in John's Gospel, I and the Father are one. If you've seen me, you've seen the Father. And so we look at Jesus, we look at the Messiah, and we can say, this is the everlasting Father, God on high, walking on our earth. Wonderful Counselor, mighty God, everlasting Father, Prince of Peace. The Messiah, the Son who is going to be born to us, the baby in the manger, is the Prince of Peace. And in the Christmas story, that theme of peace sits right at the heart of the whole message. In a few weeks' time, we'll be hearing the story of the angels coming and announcing good news to the shepherds. Peace on earth and goodwill to all people. And the Messiah, the Prince of Peace, has come to bring reconciliation. Reconciliation between us and God, and reconciliation between human beings. Goodwill on earth and peace to all people. And the Prince of Peace title, in a way, ties together all these other names that we ascribe to the Messiah. Because as the Prince of Peace, he goes to the cross in the weakness of wisdom, and he dies in our place so that reconciliation can be possible and God's justice can be fulfilled. And so we get a wonderful picture in Isaiah of these great titles that we will give to the Messiah that tell us who he is and what he's come to do, of all that he will achieve through the Lord Jesus Christ and his death on the cross. And I think there's one very simple application that we need to take away from these verses in Isaiah this morning. And that is simply about whose name are you trying to make great? Whose name am I trying to make great? We live in a culture that is obsessed by fame. And it seems that the world around us is very focused on trying to make a name for itself. Babel all over again. The cult of celebrity. so that in the 21st century, some people are famous simply for trying to be famous, even though they've done precisely nothing whatsoever. Well, the Bible will have none of that. If we try to make a great name for ourselves, we face the same fate that those people on the plains of Shinar did at the Tower of Babel. Rather, as disciples of the Lord Jesus Christ, our calling is to ascribe greatness and majesty and glory to this Messiah, to the wonderful Counselor, Mighty God, Everlasting Father, and Prince of Peace. That is our great calling, to bring him glory by what we do, by what we say, by how we speak about him, by how we live our lives. We point away from ourselves and towards this wonderful Messiah who fulfills all of God's glorious promises. Well, let's pray that God would strengthen us to do that today. Would you pray with me? Heavenly Father, we thank you for the Lord Jesus Christ, who fulfills these promises that Isaiah made so many centuries before his birth. Thank you that in the Lord Jesus we see one who is Wonderful Counselor, Mighty God, Everlasting Father, and Prince of Peace. And we pray that every aspect of our lives would bring him honour and glory, that we might make his name great. For we pray in his name. Amen.